Amos chapter 9. I saw the Lord standing beside the altar, and he said, Strike the tops of the pillars, that the thresholds may shake, and break them in pieces on the head of all of them, and I will kill the last of them with the sword. There shall not one of them flee away, and there shall not one of them escape, though they dig into Sheol, the grave. There my hand will take them, and though they climb up to the sky, I will bring them down from there. So I think this is God saying, I'm going to destroy the temple. This is very different to how people thought in those days. They thought that a god was supposed to, by all means, preserve his own house, his own temple. But the God of Israel, the only true God, Yahweh of Israel, is of course different. He's not how people imagine a god should be. He considers that sin is very serious, and he will bit by bit punish that. And if his people sin, he will punish them. He won't say, oh, well, no, I wouldn't do anything bad to my own people or my own temple. He would, and he has done. Because that's how much he considers that sin is significant and must be punished. You also see how he never really wanted a temple in the first place. When David first had the idea, basically God said to him through Nathan, no, I don't want a temple. I don't live in houses made with hands. I live in the hearts of people. And actually, well, David and Solomon pushed the idea through, oh, but we want one. Okay, God lived in the temple. But actually, that temple led them, I think, away from God, really. This is a trouble with religious structure. And here, God himself is, as it were, knocking down its pillars and taking it down. And he says that there's no way they can hide from him. Though they hide themselves in the top of Carmel, I will search and take them out from there. And though they be hidden from my sight in the bottom of the sea, there will I command the serpent, and it will bite them. So people are so foolish to think you can escape the presence of God, and you can escape responsibility to God. You can't. Jonah had to learn this. He thought he could run away from God, that God was only operating in the land of Israel. So he gets a ship going far away, and you know the story that there's a storm, and he's thrown into the sea, and a big fish swallows him up. And so he learned this, that you can't actually be hidden from God, even at the bottom of the sea. Though they go into captivity before their enemies, there I will command the sword and it will kill them. I will set my eyes on them for evil and not for good. For the Lord, Yahweh of hosts, is he who touches the land and it melts, and all who dwell in it will mourn, and it will rise up wholly like the river, and will sink again like the river of Egypt. It is he who builds his chambers in the heavens and has founded his vault on the earth. He who calls for the waters of the sea and pours them out on the surface of the earth. Yahweh is his name. So God has all power. He built, as it were, the heavens, all the stars, constellations. He's created the earth. He just calls to the waters and they come. To think that you can somehow hide from God, God Almighty, is foolish, but that is how people behave. Are you not like the children of the Ethiopians to me, you children of Israel, says Yahweh? Haven't I brought up Israel out of the land of Egypt, and the Philistines from Kaphtor, and the Syrians from Kir? See, the eyes of the Lord Yahweh are on the sinful kingdom, and I will destroy it from off the surface of the earth, except that I will not utterly destroy the house of Jacob, says Yahweh. For see, I will command, and I will sift the house of Israel among all the nations, as grain is sifted in a sieve. Yet not the least kernel will fall to the earth. All the sinners of my people will die by the sword, those who say, evil won't overtake us nor meet us. So, thinking that, I can get away with it. Well, yeah, God is there, and I'm responsible to him, but don't worry about it. I'll be okay. That's all a long way off Judgment Day. No, it's not like that. These people were saying in their hearts, evil will not overtake us. We're getting away with it. You do not get away with sin. This is the point. And God says that he's going to not destroy all of Jacob, all of Israel, and he hasn't. He has preserved them, and he will always preserve a remnant through all these sufferings. And that is his intention now, that just a remnant will be saved. We sometimes marvel how few it seems are true Christians. Well, yes, that is how it's always been. out of all the earth, God chose just this very small nation of Israel. And out of them, just a remnant. It was a minority of a minority, a remnant of a remnant. And so this is how he works. He doesn't need big numbers. And it's not surprising, therefore, if the majority don't get it because the majority never did get it. After this, I will return and I will rebuild the tent of David that has fallen down. I will rebuild its ruins and I will restore it as in the days of old. So, the kingdom of God that is to come upon the earth is to be a restoration of God's kingdom as it was before, because God was the king of Israel in the past and they were his kingdom. His kingdom was in a limited extent, to a limited extent on this earth. But then in Ezekiel 21 you read, I will overturn it, and it will be no more until he come whose right it is, and I will give it him. So the kingdom of God as it was in Israel has been overturned, but it will be re-established when Jesus comes back. I will restore it, as it says here, as in the days of old, that the remnant of mankind may seek the Lord, and all the Gentiles who are called by my name, says the Lord, who makes these things known from of old. So there's going to be a remnant, again, a small percentage of mankind, the Gentiles, who will come and seek the Lord. And that is quoted in the New Testament about how people today are getting baptized into Jesus. See, the days come, says Yahweh, that the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the one treading grapes, him who sows seed. In other words, the harvests will go on for so long, it will be so big that they're still gathering it when it's time to start sowing again. And the sweet wine will drip from the mountains and flow from the hills. I will bring my people Israel back from captivity. They will rebuild the ruined cities and inhabit them, and they will plant vineyards and drink wine from them. They shall also make gardens and eat their fruit. I will plant them in their land, and they will no more be plucked up out of their land, which I have given them, says Yahweh your God. Well, that could have happened. The 10 tribes could have returned. Judah could have returned. But most of them didn't. Most of them chose to remain in exile because they preferred the life there. Or at the very best, they came back just to make a pilgrimage, that is, a brief visit to Jerusalem. And so, although they didn't want this kingdom of God that could have been, in the end it will come true. It will be restored when Jesus comes back, and these wonderful things will then literally come true then, that the earth will return to how it was in the Garden of Eden, and the curse that came upon the earth will be taken away, and God's true people will be planted in their land and never to be plucked up again.